the property was actually zoned residential. So the building was designed on the basis of half of it being professional offices and the other half being residential, and Miles would live in the residential portion of it. The site's very narrow. It's only 12 metres wide. The building is basically two big boxes on stilts, and the big boxes are at first floor level and they're double height. So the idea was to have the drafting room facing the river, which was to the south, so good south light, and some skylights up the top that also let light in from the south. The main drafting room was originally designed for five people. It was just a series of drawing boards that you could stand at. Well, because it was hand drafting, you had your pencils and your ink pens. You had a set square and a T square. When you drew particular drawings and details, you drew them in pencil. And that was then interrogated a bit further, and you'd rub out a bit and you'd add a bit and you'd change this and change that. You could do all of that because a rubber and a pencil allowed you to do so. But once you got to a point where the drawing had been well scrutinized, it then was drawn in ink by tracing it. I rather liked the old process of drawing in pencil or drawing by hand and then doing a sketch of something before you then drew it in hard line, because it gave a personality to the actual detail or the design. That's the art of architecture. So we all were sitting there in a row and drawing away frantically. And I mean, it was actually quite a good atmosphere, because the space is a double height space, so there's good volume in it all. Yes, it was a nice a place to work in. When a commission would come into the office and we'd all get excited, there was a kind of a rush to the drawing board to do some sketches. And on Monday morning, you'd been working at home the weekend and done a great design for it, bring it in, and Miles had already done it, done a watercolour, and that was it. And you looked at what he had done, and you looked at what you had done, and think, yep, I think he wins this competition. So that kind of atmosphere was not unusual in the office. And it's the only way you could actually make your mark. And if you look at the front of the building here, you see that the glass on the ground floor is actually quite a long way out. It was originally recessed right back. So you entered the building at where the stairwell, which is in the centre of the building. It was later on that the front was brought out to this level. There were techniques used in this design. As you can see, you know, the downpipes are exposed, and the spouting that runs across the front of the building here is slung beneath the concrete beams. I mean, things were taken apart and then put back together again and exposed for what they were. So it was a kind of a truth about elements of architecture. This was an expression of what was happening in the building. The Christchurch School picked up on the use of concrete block and exposed downpipes, and in fact, it was quite often colloquially referred to as the Christchurch downpipe architecture. There are different views about brutalism, and it really is a kind of truth in terms of what the elements were. You know, a brick is a brick, and so you expose it and show that it's a brick. If you look at the windows, you'll see that the jambs of the windows are not exposed. They're actually hidden in between the cavity in the blockwork, and the glass disappears into the blockwork. And the sliding sashes, and indeed the sliding doors, which are on the north face, are proud of the building and sit out there demonstrating that they slide backwards and forwards. And you can see the door here, front door, has got a big metal brace that stops the door from racking. So that's a pretty important element too. Otherwise the doors would sag. So what you do is you show it, you expose it. So it's demonstrating the truth of what it's actually achieving. We've got, you know, concrete blockers exposed both externally and internally. We've got concrete beams, concrete slabs, concrete roof slung between those big concrete beams up there. All of that is exposed to view. Back in those days, that was, you know, quite unusual, and pretty bare in terms of how it was seen by people. But from an architectural point of view, it was great delight because this was a sort of the new style of architecture and beginning of modernism as such. In New Zealand, the concrete block was to some extent pioneered by what Warren O'Malley did. Dorset Street flats were the first of those sort of buildings that demonstrated that particular use. And that was a very successful building, although it was condemned in Christchurch by all sorts of people. In fact, the tour buses used to pull up outside and the tour commentators would describe it as Christchurch's most ugly building. You know, you step outside the norm and you're slammed and criticised because of it, but then suddenly it becomes very fashionable. Both 65 and 69, that one there was the Sear Tower on the front of it, were owned by Miles. And one of his very generous thoughts was to try and give something back to the profession which he had got so much from. And so he gave the two buildings and put them in trust. I chair that trust for him. And the idea was that the rental from the trust would go towards architectural education. So it's the Warren Architects Educational Charitable Trust. So we support universities, schools of architecture, three schools. We provide scholarships for students. We also support the idea of architects in residence, but also the general public, so they can understand how important architecture is to their world that they live in.